Good evening. If you have your Bibles, turn again to the book of Malachi, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 1 and read up to verse 7 where we left off last week, just so we can take it in context. And before we do, I'm just going to ask the Lord to bless His Word. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your Word. We ask You to help us tonight to teach it. Help us to hear it. Help us to learn it. But even more so, God, help us to do what, God, You teach us to do and show us to do, that we can live for You and bring honor and glory to You in Christ's name. Amen. If we begin in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob? And I hated Esau, and laid his mountain and his heritage to waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. As a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name? And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Last time we left off in verse 7 here, and we left off dealing with the fact that we'd come to the realization that these priests had become lax. They had become to where they did not take their calling. They did not take their office. They did not take their duty. They did not take their service serious. They didn't take their position as being serious. And we see what happens because of that. We start seeing things fall off. I think we left off, and I'm going to go over a few things that we went over last time. I think it's been 2 weeks since we met on this. Taking light the things of God is extremely dangerous for us. The fact of the matter is, if we're not careful, we can have a tendency to want to take light the things of God. Meeting with God on a daily basis. Doing what God's called us to do. And if we take light the things of God, it's dangerous. And what it does, it has a snowball effect. And each occasion that we do it, what happens, it grows and it gets bigger and bigger. And before you know it, we're out of control. And that's what happened, I believe, personally, with these priests. I don't think they started off corrupt. I mentioned that last time we looked at this. And as I study these things and as I look at these things, I'm not trying to take these things out of context. But what I'm trying to do is examine them and take the light of the Scripture that we see that was given to them and examine my own self as we study. Make application in my own life. For example, we used this example last time we met. What if our pastor took light his responsibility to earnestly study or search the Scriptures in order to come and teach us the Word? Y'all think we'd be a weak church? How many churches y'all think meet? On a meeting today, tonight, met this morning, that the pastors took light their responsibility. And a lot of them didn't study all week. Come Saturday night, you know what they did? They dug through. They had an idea. And all of a sudden, they come up with some kind of idea. They found a couple verses to go with it. And they going off the cuff. They went off the cuff this morning. They'll do it this evening. And do y'all see the repercussions that would happen when we are the man of God? And that's who he's dealing with. He's dealing with the priest. I ask this question. What if our families, us, me and you, what if we took light our responsibility and our privilege to give to the Lord? If we didn't give the tithe that God, or give back a portion, the first fruits of our increase that God has given us, what would happen to this church? Eventually, what? We'd deplete our resources. They'd shut the doors, turn the lights off, and we wouldn't be able to meet here. So what we have to do is we have to look and we have to take the things of God. Us meeting here today, you know, the thing is we got to be careful because we're prone to doing the same things. These things, remember when we started the book of Malachi, We went to the New Testament, and the New Testament said that these things were written for what? For our examples. And what we have to do, as the students of the Word of God, we have to study God's Word, see where they made mistakes. Any of y'all have parents that's made mistakes? That you can clearly see the mistakes? Now, they can probably see the mistakes. Some of them are still making some of the same mistakes and can't see it and can't realize it. But we can see those things. You know what we need to do when we see things like that? We need to learn from those things. And we need to ask God to help us. And we need to ask God to reveal to us the error of our ways as we meet here, that we wouldn't come and we wouldn't take light the things of God. We talked about worship. We talked about false worship. We talked about worshiping God, not in the way that, and that's what he's dealing with here. And we talked about service. That's what was going on here. These priests had lost their reverential fear of the Lord and their love for him and for his service. And the thing is since God is faithful, you know what God does? God rebukes them. And I thank God that we have a God that's faithful enough when we foul up. How many of y'all on a regular basis does God have to remind you the error of your ways? Aren't y'all glad of that? We don't need to take that light. We don't need to shun that. When God reveals to us things that we're doing wrong, you know what we need to do? We need to beg God for grace immediately to change from those things. Instead of dabbling in them. Why? Because the further we go, the harder it is to get back. And what we need to understand is we need God to do a work in here. I don't know about you, but it's easy to be critical of these priests in our text. It's easy to see their faults and failures. But you know what? A lot of times it's hard for us to see. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about Richardson Baptist Church here tonight. Us. Us very few people. this morning we heard messages that dealt with our vocations. We heard that it is right. How many of y'all believe it is right? We heard it this morning that it is right for us to go out and work. How many of y'all believe that? That we are to work. We are to labor. The scripture said, we heard it this morning, if we don't work, what? We don't eat. And the thing is, we heard that it is right. And the thing that I want to do, and tonight I want to look at, I had this thought and been thinking about this, about in my life and praying and seeking God. What I want to do is look at what we have to deal with on a regular basis and make application of what was going on here. And if we take light our daily duties, just like that's what these priests were doing. This was their vocation, right? How many of y'all understand what that word vocation means? What's it mean? Somebody help me out. That's your calling, right? Now we say that's our job. And for some of us, it is our calling, it is our job. And if you're not doing if your job is not what God's called you to do, you better find out what God wants you to do and start doing it. And the thing is, if we take those things lightly, then what we'll probably do is take light the things of God. Honestly. And we're going to look, I got some questions in a minute. Growing up, playing ball, we used to play a lot of ball. We were taught to practice. I don't know about you, Brother Jimmy, I know you played ball, but we had to practice wide open. I don't remember many days when we got to loaf at practice. It was wide open. And the thing is we were taught if you practice what? Poorly, then more than likely what? You're going to play poorly. So we had to give our all every time we went on the field. Why? Because it was a reflection of what we were going to do. And what we got to understand is God's called us to do something, has He not? And if we don't give our all throughout the week, then when we gather here today, it's going to reflect on how we view God. When we don't take serious the calling of God that God has placed on our lives and we go through each day just having no purpose. How many of y'all would testify we go through days having no purpose? Let's be honest. I mean, we just go with the flow. Right? We have no purpose. We have no purpose for our lives. We just go each day having no purpose. And we have no purpose for what we do. Right? And we have no purpose for whom we do it to. And if we're not careful, more than likely when we meet together, we're going to bring this into our corporate worship. We don't plan, strategically plan. What do you want me to do today, God? I think that's where these priests fouled up. They just got to going, they got to doing what was normal. And then all of a sudden, one day they found themselves way, way, way over here, misusing and abusing the things of God. And if we're not careful, I got some, how many of y'all, I got a question. How many of us seriously plan and purpose to truly please God on our jobs every day? Now, sometimes we do. I pray. I try to. I ask God. But then I get on my job and I get so caught up, I lose focus that I forget what I've done prayed for God to answer. Most of us would probably be guilty of taking what we have been called to do by God. We'd probably be guilty of taking that lightly. Right? I'm going to ask some questions and to you women, and I'm going to ask you first and see how y'all respond. How monotonous? I got to thinking about this as I was studying. Is it, ladies, for you to cook and eat the same meals week after week for your family? I know some of y'all, if you're like Joyce, I don't eat a whole lot. I pretty much eat the same thing. So I would imagine she probably gets bored cooking the same. And she wished, man, I wish I could just cook something good. Does that get monotonous? I don't do it, so I'm asking y'all a question. Does that get monotonous from time to time? And if we're not careful, could we find ourselves kind of being resentful of what we have to do? I'm just causing us to think and ask, how thrilling is it to clean the same clothes? I'm dealing with the women right here, right off the bat. The same dishes, right? The same floors, day in and day out, knowing that the whole time, everything you are doing today, you're going to have to turn right back around and do it again tomorrow. Y'all help me out. Is that thrilling? Miss Denny, is that thrilling? No? We look at these priests. You know what they did? They offered the same things on a regular basis. And what happens, they began to take those things lightly and think that it wasn't meaningful and there was no purpose in it. He says the table, in that you say the table of the Lord is what? Despicable. It is worthless. In other words, all these things we're doing for nothing. They're worthless things that we're doing. Were they doing things for nothing? No, those things that they were doing were a type and picture of what was to come. And God had a plan and a purpose. But what happened? They lost focus of that. How many of y'all eagerly awake each day? Women bubbling over, I put, with joy, knowing that you have to do the same boring routines of housework today that you did yesterday. And y'all, you're chomping at the bit. I can't wake up. I can't wait to get up and do the same thing over and over and over. Now, that seems like I'm making fun, but I'm not. Right? How many of you, if you were to be honest, would say that you really didn't plan on your life? Now, I want you to think about this, that you really did not plan on your life being like it is, and sometimes you wish for deliverance from all your responsibilities. When y'all were dreaming of what your life was going to be, were you dreaming about what it is now? Come on, be honest. Y'all not helping me out. And the thing is, what we got to understand is sometimes what we think we want or what we think we should have is not what God wants us to have. And what we have to do, I think these priests, going back, and I'm not trying to manipulate the scriptures, but I think probably after a while, after doing the same thing over and over and over, they got bored with those things. It became monotonous. It became mundane. They said, man, they got to looking at the outside surrounding people and say, you know, we could probably make more money if we did things like this. It happens, does it not? How many of y'all have ever said, man, if I was to ever get rich, I'd never do this again? I said that. I'm talking about my job. I wouldn't. Me and Brother Dawson was talking about that the other day. Man, if I ever did it, got big, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. What we got to understand is if we're doing what God has called us to do, you know what we have to do? We have a responsibility to do it with all our might. Not to complain. How many of y'all bad about complaining? Thinking that there's no purpose? How many of you realize that this is what God's called you to do, yet you still have trouble enjoying what God's called you to do? Any of us? Why? I think from time to time we lose focus. We tend to focus on us and our surroundings. And as I study these priests and look at the things that were going on, I would say that was probably the case with them. Now, granted, we come here at church today, right? The pastor, supposed to be elevated in our society, in our culture. The pastor's the big man at the church, right? It come on, y'all help me out. Isn't that how it is? But you know what the scriptures say the pastor's supposed to be? The least. The servant. And the thing is, we got to be careful Because if we allow this world to dictate to us what we should be doing, then we will find ourselves discouraged when things don't add up to what this world calls it to add up to. And what we got to understand is, what is God's role for my life? What was God's role? God laid out a prescribed plan for these priests. They knew it, but they decided to walk on. If we know what God's called us to do and we don't do it, you know what the scripture says that is? That's sin. That is direct disobedience, direct 100% rebellion. You see, we got to be careful because if we get on, we start looking at our lives and we start examining our own lives, we got to be careful. Why? Any of y'all do social media in here? Some of y'all? What? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We got to be careful by allowing what controls our mind and the things we see to say whether or not we're successful at what we're doing. Do y'all think God would get honor and glory if a woman, and I'm just using a housewife for an example, right? Housewives are looked down upon today. Y'all understand that? They do way more work, get way less pay. They're looked down on upon today. But if a housewife was to allow this world to dictate to her what she was supposed to do, and all she did was the things that God had called her to do, she would find herself being what? Discouraged pretty quick. Find herself being disgruntled with her life. And that's why I said about the social media. You realize on social media, people only post the things that they want you to see, others to see. And if you haven't noticed, everybody's life. You go on Instagram. Any of y'all got Instagram, right? I'm not saying everybody, but to kind of sum it up, everybody's life is what? It's amazing, right? They're always either what? We were talking about that the other day, on vacation all the time. Every time you look, I mean, it seems as if they're on vacation. Their life is full of adventure. It's full of romance. It's full of what? Leisure. And the thing is everybody's life is like that except what? Except yours. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being disgruntled. We'll find ourselves, and what we got to do as children of God, we got to settle ourselves on what it is God has called us to do. And we must put purpose in our hearts to do it for His honor and for His glory. If you change in diapers, now how many of y'all want to do that, honestly? None of us. But if God's called you to be a mom, you know what? That's what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to do it, what? For the honor and glory. Okay. You think God would reward you if you did it for Him? No different. Colossians 3 says this, servants, 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in what? Singleness of heart. We got to get to that place. That's what happened to these priests. They didn't have singleness of heart for God. He says, but with singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. How many of y'all are guilty of wanting to do things for other people? Me. I want the credit. I want the accolades. I want people to notice the good job that I've done. I want the reward for my labors. I want to get my paycheck. But there's times when God calls on us to do things what? And we're supposed to do everything, plan and purpose to do it for Him. For His honor. For His glory. And if our whole week was saturated with us planning and purposing and making attempts to honor and glorify God all day, every day, and every single little minute task that we do, when we gather back here today, what kind of worship service do you think we would have? I think God would reward us. Because we have sought Him throughout the week. We have sought to please Him, not to please men. He says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Right? Who's our boss? He is. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. We got to examine every motive that we have. Y'all understand that? Why? Our hearts have a tendency to do wrong on a regular basis. And if we're not careful, Paul said, even when I do good, what? Evil's present with me. And what we have to do is we have to present ourselves, lay ourselves out before the Lord, knowing that we have a purpose and we plan to purpose to live for Him. Because if we don't, if we do what comes natural to us, Y'all know what's going to happen? We're going to murmur. You're right. We're going to complain. We're going to say, I hate this place. I hate it. I wish I can get out. How many of us thoroughly enjoy waking up early every day just to have to go to the same office? Some of y'all have office jobs. I thank God I don't. Dave, you raised your hand. He's talking about school. To sit under the same boss, right? To get on the same piece of equipment. Now, if we're not careful, if we just look at what's going on in our own lives, we'll find ourselves being bored with what's going on when we are looking to ourselves. And what we have to do is we're going to see the same people next week we go to work. But you know what we need to do? We need to live as unto what we have. We need to have an impact on them. Most of us are going to get about the same amount of money. We're going to get the same paycheck next week. You understand that? It ain't going to be much better. Might be a little bit better, might be a little bit worse. But what we need to do is we need to what? Realize, he says, knowing that the Lord, of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That's who we're working for. I'm guilty about, we was talking about this the other day, Brother Jimmy's talking about a man works. Why does he work? Because he loves what? His family. I said, I don't know about that, but I called him. I said, I was going to have to rebuke you on that. Sometimes I feel like I work just so I can get prepared. Because he was talking about we don't go hunting, right, because we love our families. But sometimes we work just so we can get enough money to go hunting. We got to be careful. Because if we're not careful, we can find ourselves laboring for the lust of our flesh. In other words, I want to work all week and I want to do right. Why? So I can get what I want to get. And I have an entitlement to get what I want to get, right? Why? Because I've worked for it. And what we got to understand is we don't belong to ourselves, and we're working for Him. We must be careful not to neglect the vocation or the calling that God has called us to. For if we do, we might find ourselves in opposition to God. How many of y'all realize? I would like to take a show of hands, and I'm not going to do it. But how many of y'all realize you, or how many of y'all know that you are where you're supposed to be in your job, in your vocation? Any of y'all know that? I do. I think I'm right where I need to be. I tried to get out. I asked God for ways out. He won't let me out. And the thing is if we understand we're where we are by God's calling, then you know what? We don't have any excuse as to why we don't live for Him and serve Him. And the thing is, if you're not certain, then you know what you need to do? You need to pray and ask God, reveal to me. Why? Because how you live this week will affect how you serve and worship God starting next week. You understand that? It will. And the thing is, we got to be careful not to neglect the calling that God has placed on us. That's what these priests had done, had they not? They neglected the calling, the duties, the service that God had called them. And because of that, we start seeing what? Corruption come in. Verse 8 says this, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, the question is this, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? God asked him this question. He said, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is that not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Matthew Henry states this. He says that if we worship, now I want y'all to listen to this. If we worship God ignorantly and without understanding, then we bring the blind for sacrifice. Now I'm going to read that again. If we worship God ignorantly and without understanding, then we bring the blind for sacrifice. Now, he's not talking about lost folks. He's talking about people that have been given knowledge. He's talking about people that have been given light. He's talking about us. And that if we neglect to seek God throughout the week and we just come here saying, bless me if you can, he said, what we've brought is we brought the blind for sacrifice. He said, if we do it carelessly, that's what these priests were doing. They were carelessly worshiping God. And without consideration, if we are cold and dull and dead in it, we bring what? The sick, he says. Ain't y'all ever been guilty of that? Carelessly showing up to church? Showing up cold? I don't really feel like going, but I'm going out of obligation. I've done it. I couldn't stand up here in the line and say I haven't, but I've done it. I've come dull. In other words, not really responsive, not eagerly seeking for God to rebuke me and correct me and help me. And if we do, he said, you bring the sick. He goes on to say that if we rest in the bodily exercise and do not make heart work of it, we bring the lame. How many of us have labored and toiled this week for the services that we've come to meet together? I'm talking about in prayer. You know what we do? We tend to take lax the things of God. We tend to neglect the calling that God has placed on us. God has called us. I believe God's called me here for a purpose, to this church. I have a responsibility. Can I neglect that responsibility? I can. I pray God won't let me. I pray y'all won't let me. I pray y'all hold me accountable. I pray God hold me accountable. Why? Because I have a tendency to neglect it. Why? I'm flesh. And the thing is, he said, if we come and we don't make heart work, and then what ends up happening is we bring the lame. If we suffer vain thoughts and distractions to lodge within us, are y'all guilty of that? We bring the torn, and he says, and is this not evil? Y'all see the relation here?
Yeah.
We come to God. We come haphazardly. We come half-heartedly. And what happens is we bring all the things. How many of y'all fight off the thoughts of the things of this world while y'all sitting in here listening or preaching? That's a battle. A tremendous battle. I believe if we would fight those things on a daily basis throughout the week, begging God to help us when we get here to concentrate on Him, I think it would be a lot easier. Instead of waiting until we get on the battlefront just to ask God, help me, Lord. And the thing is, we got to understand, it's evident according to our text that these priests thought anything would serve for a sacrifice, right? And because their standard was low, the people brought what? They brought the worst that they could find. It seems as if the priests, if they would have held a higher standard, then the people would have also paid more attention to the sacrifices that they were to bring. Y'all understand? Any of y'all ever get angry at your kids? I was asking a while ago about the monotonous things that we do. How many of y'all ever get tired of telling your kids to do the same thing? Turn off the lights. Electricity is not free. I mean, you tell them time and time. Yeah. How many times have you gotten on to your kids and you say, they'll never pay attention? They're not listening to me. Any of y'all ever do that? Or is that just me? I mean, it just seems as if it's a, what? You wasting your time. We got to be careful because they are a direct reflection of us. I know every time I study and I had to teach before on marriage. And you know, my relationship with my wife is a direct reflection of my relationship with the Lord. If I have aught with my wife, if there's contention between me and her, you know what? 100 times out of 100 times, there's a problem between me and the Lord. I'm not right. And the thing is we see things in our kids. I see it. I see things in my kids. And I understand, and sometimes they are like they are. Why? Because I'm like I am. And these priests, the reason that these people were bringing these offerings that were worthless was because the priests were allowing them to. They had no standard. And the thing is when the officials are corrupt, right? That's what's wrong with our company, with our country. When the officials are corrupt, then everybody else is going to follow suit. And we have to take great care as the leaders in our homes, right? How many of y'all lead y'all's homes? I hope we do. We got to take great care not to allow corruption in, because if we allow it in, you know what? Everybody else is going to allow it in. And we got to be careful. That's the thing here. These priests, the fact of the matter was that the sacrifices that the people were bringing to the altar actually had no value to them. Y'all understand that? They did. I mean, who wants a lame? I don't know anything about sheep, about cows. But if you're going to go down there and go to the sale yard, right? To the sale barn, and you're going to buy something for your own personal good. You're going to buy something with a broke leg. Something that can't walk, something that's lame, something that's blind, something that's sick. No. Why? Because it's worthless. And the thing is, nobody wanted. These sacrifices that they brought had no value. No value whatsoever. They themselves didn't want it. They surely couldn't sell it. The things that they offered, more than likely, they couldn't even give these things away, yet they attempted to bring these things to God, thinking that they would to be fit for Him. And we do the same things with ourselves. We bring to God the things that we don't want. We bring to God what the time that we have left over, what after we done expend ourselves all week. How many of us this week, and I'm guilty, I'm not trying to ridicule y'all, I'm telling you. How many of us have planned and purposed to reserve ourselves this week so we can meet with God today? Most of us haven't. We run, we blow, we go all week, and then whatever's left over, we show up and bring it and give it to God. And that's what they were doing here. They were bringing to God, to bring into His altar. In essence, the things that they were bringing were worthless because they were not fit to sell. They weren't fit to eat. They were not fit to use as a gift. Y'all remember in 2 Samuel? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24 right quick. We're going to look at an example of this. 2 Samuel chapter 24. Y'all remember when King David took a census? I don't understand all that. I'm telling you, I looked at those things. Me and Joyce were talking about it. Sometimes, you know, God doesn't make sense. Y'all understand that? He doesn't. I mean, there's some things that God does that I don't get. But He's God, and we got to trust Him. And David takes a census. There was a plague that fell upon the nation. Look at starting in verse, where are we at? I ain't even in the right. Starting in verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah, or however you say that, looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? He's saying, why are you coming to me, right? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. You remember God gave him an option? And you know what David banked on? He didn't bank on his enemies. He banked on the mercies of God. And any time we get in a bind, you know what we need to do? We need to run to the Lord. Why? Because His mercies are new. He does love. Y'all realize God does love us? Do y'all ever get to where sometimes you feel as if God really doesn't love you? Anybody get that way? You know when we get that way? When we start looking at those mundane activities that we do all day, thinking, God, if you really love me, you would probably elevate my position. And the thing is God wants to teach us where we're at. Anyway, and he says, verse 22, and Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, there be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king. These did Araunah as a king give unto the king. And Araunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Listen to what he says. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings so that the Lord was entreated for the land and the plague was stayed from. David fully understood that he had fouled up. Y'all understand that? He knew he messed up. And he was not about to take light the instruction given to him by the prophet Gad. So when Araunah offered his threshing floor and his instruments and his oxen to David for free, you know what David did? He refused it. He said, I'm not going. He wasn't like those back in our text. He wasn't looking for something for free in order to give that to God where it didn't cost him anything. He said, oh no, I'm going to pay you, and I'm going to pay you full price. Why? Because I want to serve and worship God. You know, worship costs us. It does. We looked at the woman in the New Testament. Y'all remember that anointed Christ? Feet with her hair and with the ointment. The alabaster box that was of what? Great cost. I mean, great cost. And the thing is, what we got to understand is worship is going to cost us. And the thing is if we come to God and we just give Him the leftovers, which we're guilty of doing, I'm guilty of doing. How many of y'all do that with y'all's money? In other words, we get paid. We say, you know, I got all these bills this week. And we're supposed to pay our debts, right? Is that not right? We are. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and pay my bills, and I'm going to stop and get me a Snickers and a Dr. Pepper, and whatever's left over I'm going to give to God. Is that how we're supposed to do? No. And the thing is David understood it's going to cost me. I've messed up, and it's going to cost me. And what we got to understand is our worship gathering together today, our worship in the morning when we wake up, our worship when we go to work, you know, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us some time. It's going to cost us some sleep. It's going to cost us some effort. Brother Daryl was talking today about getting home from work, and I'm guilty of this. Man, we get home, sometimes you just want to relax. It's not easy to study the Bible. There's 10,000 things I would rather do, honest, I'm being honest, than study the Scripture. Especially if I don't have a lot of time to study. You know what I'll do? I'll tell myself, it's not worth tying up 30 minutes. I'm only going to get a little bit out of it anyway. I'll wait until later where I can spend a couple hours so I can get what I need to get. And you know what? We miss out on what God's called us to do. We got to be careful. We can talk ourselves. Why? Because it is a labor. And we got to give of ourselves. If we don't, I'm talking about me. I'm not just saying y'all. We. I've noticed I've been saying we. We have to give of ourselves. And we cannot take light the calling that God's called us. Back to our text. God gives them this challenge. He said, if what you are doing is not evil, then offer these same things to your governors that you've offered to me. Go and see if your governor would be pleased with what you consider a gift. See if he would respect you or if he would be deeply insulted by you trying to give him the animals that you yourself considered worthless. That's really what God's saying. We must be careful taking from others the things that they are willing to part with from free. Anybody ever try to give y'all something? Usually there's a hitch there. I mean, we see it on our jobs all the time. Y'all want this TV? It only weighs 800 pounds and don't even work. But y'all can have it if you want it. What they're trying to do is get rid of that junk onto you. And we got to be careful. Why? Now, that wasn't the case with Uriah. He really was wanting to bless the king. But David understood, hey, what I'm going to give to God, I'm going to give to him something that costs me. And what we have to do is we have to realize that God has called us to worship him. He's called us to serve him. How many of y'all believe God's called you and placed you where he's placed you? Honestly, I want to see a show of hands. That you know, without a doubt, this is what God's called me to do. This is where he's placed me to be. Now, you know what? He can change that, can he not? He has liberty. Why? You belong to him, if you belong to him. And he can do with you what he wants to do with you. But what we need to do is we need to be obedient where we are, in what we're doing, for him. And you know what? I believe this, and I'm not trying to be prosperity teaching or preaching, but I believe if we were to be obedient, some of the things we don't like doing, if we were to be obedient and joyful and doing things purposing in our heart to do them as unto the Lord, I believe he can either change our heart to like the things that we're doing, or he can give us new things to do, honestly. He's that big of a God. And what we need to do tomorrow when we wake up, you know what we need to do? We need to plan and purpose to worship God in the calling that he has called us with. And what we need to do is we need to set out to be what? Joyful. Looking eagerly anticipating, getting up. Why? So we can spend time with him. We can do what God's called us to do. How many of y'all get in a rut? And from time to time, you don't like the things that you do. You don't like your life. Any of y'all like that, or is that just me? You feel sorry for yourself. And y'all do that? Or is that just me? And what we have to do is we have to get out of that. We have to not take light the things that God's called us to do. Is our God big enough to change our jobs? If he so wants to? Is he big enough to change our hearts? You know what we need to do? We need to seek him. We need to plan. We need to purpose. And I think we're going to stop here for sake of time. I believe that if we serve him throughout the week, wholeheartedly, with a plan, with a purpose, to be intentional, every single place that we go, that I'm an ambassador. How many of y'all view yourselves as ambassadors for Christ? I'm going to be honest. When you're at home, amongst your kids. Now, if you were a priest in the temple, would you view yourself as an ambassador of Christ? Huh? We would probably think a little bit higher of ourselves if we were working. But you know what? If God's called you to be where you're at, and He hadn't called you to be in the temple, then we got trouble not viewing ourselves of what we've been. You know, you're an ambassador in your own home to your women. I'm talking to the women because I think sometimes they probably have it worse than we do, right? I mean, at least we get to ride around, eat lunch at different places from time to time. A lot of them are stuck at the same place all day. I was just thinking about having compassion for them. And the thing is, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves. That's just an example. But me, I can find myself not serving God where He's placed me. And if I don't, you know what? I'm probably not going to serve Him when I get here like I should. And the thing is when we gather together, you know what it is? It's a culmination of what's taken place all week in our life. So if we're in sin, which we all going to be, and we all going to have to deal with, and if we're not taking care of it, when we gather together, then there's no wonder there's no manifestation of the Spirit of God. But if we were to plan and purpose to serve Him throughout the week, y'all think it could transform? I'm not looking for any. We're not talking about jumping pews. I'm talking about God revealing truth to us through His Word. And if we were to seek Him and search Him, I've been begging God to give me a heart to love Him more and to love His Word more. I need it. I need y'all to pray for me in that area. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You and we ask You to help.